to be here and want to welcome everyone here too. If you're visiting this morning, we're glad to have you with us. We have a smaller crowd this morning, and I know it's because in our family we have quite a few people that are not feeling that good, so midwinter flus go around and they sort of get everybody in. But we can still come and and worship the Lord, and happy to have everyone here this morning. Appreciated what's been shared already in the devotions. Really agree with that. I think that we forget easily how to love one another. And, you know, a church that doesn't have love cannot stand and cannot go on. We have to have love. And just really think that's a good point, that we need to encouragement to really love each other. Of course, love God most first. This morning I want to speak about temptation. And you know, temptation is something that we face daily as Christians, and we tend to think negative about temptation. If we understand temptation correctly, I believe it helps us to respond to temptation in a positive way. In Romans 8:28, a very familiar verse that each of us know very well, it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose." So even if it is negative, even if temptation is a negative pull in our lives, God uses it for a positive pull, if we allow him to. Even though temptation is a tool of Satan, used to deceive people to sin, God uses the same tool to strengthen our faith. And I have to think of a circle. If you had a round circle, and inside that circle represents your Christian life, Christ in your Christian life, in the center of that circle. And as I was thinking about that circle, I was thinking, where does temptation fit in into that circle? Does it fit into it? And it doesn't fit into it. I don't like to think of it, of temptation fitting into that circle of our Christian life. I like to think of it as just outside of that circle. It's a pull to pull us outside of the circle of a victorious Christian life. It's a tool of the devil. And because it's, even though it's outside of that circle and it's pulling us to fail in our Christian lives, outside of the circle of living a victorious Christian life, God takes that same tool and he uses it to help us in our Christian lives, to make us stronger, to test us. He allows it there, but it doesn't fit inside the circle. For a scripture, I'd like to read about Jesus' temptation in Matthew 4. If you want to turn there with me, you're welcome to. Matthew 4, I'll read the first 11 verses. And this is about Jesus being tempted when he was in the wilderness. I'd like to look at each of those temptations just a little, not very much, and make some comments on them. Matthew 4, verse 1, I'm going to read through verse 11. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I'm going to stop there. So as we look at this first temptation that came to Jesus, where he was tempted to take these stones that were around him and turn them into bread. And sometimes when I look at this, I don't really recognize it as a real temptation like I would face. But I think it was. I think that Jesus, this could have just been a thought that came into his mind, just like the temptations come into our minds. Here Jesus had been fasting and praying and meditating. He was out in the desert for 40 days. And then the thought came to him that he was hungry, and he recognized that he had a real need. Maybe Jesus felt in his human body that, I don't know how I can even make it out of the desert. And he felt like, I need to get something to eat, or I don't have the strength to move on. And then I think the thought maybe came back into his mind that you could take one of these stones that are laying here and you could make that into bread. And you could have all the food that you want. You know, just before he went into the desert, God spoke in an audible voice just after he'd been baptized and said, This is my beloved son. And can you imagine how that may have made how that made Jesus feel when God spoke down from there, and all the people that were witnessing, it just hovered over him, and that spirit came on him, and he just felt like very special, very loved by the Father, and very, very much like God had given him all these things and power and strengthened him. And so now that he was in the desert and he remembered this, this feeling, this thing that I have that power. I can turn this stone into bread. And I don't have to suffer this hunger. I have the strength. And he could have even thought, like we do, I don't know when my Father is going to give me food to get out of here to strengthen me. When is God going to help me out here? When is he going to bring somebody to minister to me? He maybe had doubts. He could have had doubts like this. For this to be a temptation, I believe Jesus could have felt that way. So it just came to him in the most innocent way that he has the power to have all the bread he needs. I don't know if there was other humans in the desert with Jesus. The scripture doesn't infer that there was. So possibly Jesus could have even had the thought that no one will know. No one will see. And you think of it, that is the way the devil does to us too. No one will know if I do this. No one will see that I do it. We forget that God sees everything. And I think that gave Jesus strength to know that the Father did see what was going on in his life. But for Jesus to turn those stones into bread would have been denying that he became a man for us. He would have laid down his humanity and took up his power that God had given him just for his own selfishness, you might say. And so Jesus was being tested whether he trusted God to be the Father and that God would sustain him. It was a test. The second temptation was jumping off the temple steeple. And why would this be a temptation to Jesus? The first temptation, Jesus said that he would trust God, he would wait on God. When he rebuked that temptation, he said that basically he was saying, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to wait on God to work in my life. I'm not going to move ahead of God. That's what he said. That's what was his commitment in the first temptation. Now the second temptation, Satan was asking him to really prove his faith in God, in the Father. Jump off and you can prove that all the people, that you can prove to all these people that God can save you. I wonder if it wasn't more like, I dare you to. If you trust God, if you really have faith in God, prove it. Make him save you. But Jesus buried that dare, and he submitted himself to be a man with our weaknesses. And I can imagine that he could have been tempted to prove to all the people that I am Jesus. I am the Messiah. I really am who you're wondering about. And I think that Jesus probably could have jumped off there without being hurt. Satan was right about that. But how would it have helped the kingdom of God? The only purpose would have been to please his human side. It would have been just to please Jesus, please himself, to lift himself up when maybe God wasn't ready for that. Father wasn't ready for that. Maybe the temptation for Jesus was to see if God still really cared for him. Maybe if he just wanted to feel that the Father's love administered in his life again, if he jumped off and felt that God's loving arms are holding him up and keeping him in the safe. But the principle that we get from this temptation is that we don't go put ourselves in situations where we test God. That's not what we should do. The third temptation is to worship Satan. And now that seems, how could God be Jesus be tempted to worship Satan? Maybe it was not so much a temptation to worship Satan, but more of a compromise. If you will worship me, I will let you be the prince of this world. You won't need to go through all the horrible things that you're going to face on this earth. I will give you the power now if you worship me. You won't have to spend these 3 years ministering. I'll give it to you right now if you worship me. It was a compromise. But I think it was a temptation to Jesus. I don't think it was like just a thought. Excuse me. I think it was real to Jesus. It could have been a way for him to have that power. But rightly, in another sense, when he thought it through carefully, the power was rightly Jesus' power already anyhow. In that, today, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So, that power really wasn't Satan's to give away, except that it was just the earthly power that Satan has here on earth. You know, to achieve the power that Jesus has today, he needed the way of the cross. In all, back up a little bit here. It was rightly Jesus' power already, but he needed to go to the cross to do that. But in all three of these temptations, there are a couple things that stand out as pattern that we can use today. If you look at all of these temptations, all of them were about pleasing myself, pleasing oneself. All three were aimed at Jesus bringing comfort, assurance, power to himself. You have to excuse me this morning. I'm having struggles with my throat. I think if we look at the ways we are tempted, we will see that same pattern too. Temptations are always, I want to say always, but maybe I shouldn't say quite so strong. I didn't study close enough to look at it that way. But I'll say usually, but deep down I really believe always, are about pleasing ourselves. Selfishness. The second pattern that I see is that all three temptations were woven with deception. There was truth in them, but they had a lot of deception all intermingled with them. You'll see that all temptations, you can never trust a temptation. They're never accurate. They always have deception in them. Temptation is from Satan. We've already discussed that or said that. On the positive side, God uses temptation to test us. He uses it as a purifying fire. And I think that Jesus was being tested too. I think that it was used for a testing for him too. You know, in Luke it says, at the end of this passage that the angels came and ministered to Jesus. In Luke, it says that when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed for him for a season. And temptation comes and goes. It doesn't give up because you're strong or because you think you're strong. Temptation will be there one day. It's back and forth. You're always going to be tempted at different times. It comes at different times. Maybe it comes because of the places you go. Maybe because you have idle time on your hands. You're not doing nothing. You're just sitting there doing nothing. Then you get tempted. When you're alone, we should be on our guard to plan around those situations so that we don't get overwhelmed with temptation. In 1 Timothy 6:9, it says, "But they that will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So I'll just say it simply. If you have your goal set on being rich someday, you decide right now or 10 years ago, I'm going to be rich someday, and I'm going to do what it takes to be rich. If you have that attitude, if you have that in your heart, this scripture says that's very foolish. It will lead you into hurtful lust, much temptation, and it'll destroy you. It'll take you down. So I hope that we don't have that in our hearts. Hope we never think that. That is a thing that will really take us away. I like to make this even a little more practical yet now. In just mentioning some ways of how to respond to temptation. I was thinking about the word respond. I was thinking about saying the word dealing, managing temptation. And you don't really like to think of responding to temptation. Yet, if we're going to stay on the positive side of it, I think we should respond to temptation. If we just deal with temptation, we don't really let God work in our lives with it. We just deal with it. And so I like the word respond better. I think it gives us more chance for how it says in James to let patience have its perfect work, to endure temptation, and to what it means by that is to not look at temptation as, look at it as a test. I'll speak about that a little further down. Okay, the things that tempts us to sin is the things, if I'll just say it this way better. The things that tempt us to sin is a thing that will disgust us if we understand the results of sin. So that's said all backwards possibly. But if you would look at temptation, okay, you got a temptation comes into your mind. You're tempted to do something. Now, if you will take that temptation and look at the results of sinning with that temptation, where will that, what will be the results of that? Every temptation, if you follow it to the very end, is always going to be disgusting, repulsive, death. It's terrible if you follow that temptation through. I can't say how sick it is. It's completely disgusting if you take that temptation and go to the end of it. Completely take the results of it. And you need to keep that in your mind. When you get tempted, remember Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The results of following temptation is sin and death. That's the results of all temptations. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus is saying we should be alert and watchful for temptation that could be coming. Remember how Joshua, and after he had just taken over the city of Ai, that these spies came from a country that was close, their neighbors, and they deceived them with their old clothes and all that stuff that they did. They said they're from a far country. And in a way, this is like a temptation. It's the way temptations come sometimes. They come in different forms. And the thing that Joshua missed is he forgot to he wasn't alert like he should have been. I'm not criticizing Joshua, but it's easy for us to see his faults, because I fail much more miserably. But I see that in his life, in his leadership, that he didn't counsel God, and he wasn't alert like he should have been. He wasn't watching for any little thing that could come along. So we need to be alert. It'll help us to find out how different forms of temptation. Sometimes we don't recognize temptation for what truly it is. Our logical thinking and our common sense will tell us that temptation is sin, but our humanity doesn't have the strength or the power to obey on its own. In Luke 8, verse 13, it says, "They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in time of temptation fall away." So if you're planning to respond to temptation in a positive way, which I believe everyone here is planning on that, then you have to be rooted in the word. You cannot think that you're going to overcome temptation, go through temptation, if you're not in the word, reading the Bible, studying it, believing it, applying it to your lives. If you want to overcome temptation, you have to have the word in your life. If you want victory. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." In this context, it's trials too, I believe. But we should respond to temptation with joy. And that seems very weird and hard. But not because you desire to look at evil or be evil, but because God is with you inside that circle of the Christian life, and he is allowing that temptation to you to feel that temptation, to see which side of that circle you're going to go. Are you going to go out to the outside of the circle, or are you going to stay inside with him and endure it? And you count it joy when you see that, because you know God is testing you. He's wanting to see which side of the line you might want to stay on. That's why we count it joy. He wants to give you opportunity to prove his love. Let's suppose that Satan is over here and that God is over here, and God allows Satan to put a temptation in front of you. And remember that God allows Satan only to put so much. He only puts as much as he knows that you can handle. God knows. But let's suppose God's standing on the ocean shore, and when this temptation, and you're maybe at the ocean shore, and you decide that I would like to enjoy this temptation just a little bit. I'd like to enjoy it just a little tiny bit. After I enjoy it a little bit, then I'll call on Jesus. Because Jesus is standing over here, he's waiting to rescue me. But I'll just enjoy a little bit. I'm afraid, I know, if you make that choice, you will fail. That is the wrong choice to make. And God sees that you chose to please your flesh just a little bit. So God allowed you to be tested, and when you decided to enjoy it just a little bit, you already disappointed God, but you pleased yourself. You already made that choice. That was a bad choice to make. And that's where surrender fits in. If we want to really overcome, we have to give up all of our flesh. We can't give up. We can't just keep one little bit and enjoy just some of one little tiny bit. We can't have the flesh to get a little or lose ground. If you want victory, we have to call on Jesus early. You can never trust your own judgment on any of these issues, on these temptations. If you already know that it is a temptation, call on Jesus right now. You know, the water of the ocean might only be up to your waist, and your judgment says, "Oh, I can handle that. I can handle a little more. I can go out a little deeper even." But one thing that we don't know, and there's many more things like this, we don't know how big the next wave is. Once you decided that you can handle waist deep okay, That's when Satan will send a tsunami. And how can you call on Jesus when you are submerged in 40 feet of ocean water? I believe that you can call on Jesus in 100 feet of ocean water. But when Satan sends a tsunami, he sends all kinds of other garbage with it. He sends guilt and self-pity and despondency and confusion and many more things. So when you're buried in the depths of the ocean water and you can't even seem to call on Jesus like you want to, it's very hard to. You're not sure that Jesus will even hear you even if you do call. That's the things that comes with that. And so I don't think that I just want to us to see how serious it is to give a little bit. We don't want to give a little bit. We want to give nothing. If we know it's a temptation, call on Jesus now, immediately. And then we will never get ourselves into those places where we shouldn't get ourselves into. So I'd like to just summarize a little bit now. You know, the results, I think for us to remember temptation, always remember what the results of temptation is. Following through, it's sin and death. And temptation is always misguided reasons to please ourselves. They're always aimed at our selfishness, our selfish part. God allows it to happen to see how much of yourself we're willing to give up for him. It causes us to make a choice to call on Jesus early. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but is such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God knows how much you can take or how weak you are. And he will never allow you to be tempted more than you can take. Remember how he wouldn't let Satan do to Job more than what he knew Job could handle. And in a church, in Revelations, it talks about the church of Philadelphia, one of the only churches that God gave a compliment to. But he said, he told the church of Philadelphia, "I know that I know how weak you are. I know that you're weak. But I can see that the little tiny bit of strength that you have, that you did really good with that little strength. And what you're doing is very good. And so I want to compliment you on your little strength, that it because it was sufficient for you. It was working." And that goes for us today. God wants us to grow stronger and more spiritual. And it doesn't matter how weak we are. God will still make a way of escape. Even if you feel like you're the most weakest person in your Christian lives, God gives you the strength to overcome. So you can never use the excuse that I'm too weak. It's not a good excuse. It's a poor excuse. God has made a way. If you want to make an excuse, you should just admit that you didn't want to make a commitment. You didn't want to make that choice to call on God early, because that really is, that's the deciding factor, is calling on God early before it's too late. I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for someone who has a testimony if they want to share it.